Okay. This packet discusses the halacha of Birka Tananin, specifically Hamotzi and Torim and Zonos, which is also relevant to the Pesach Seder, as we'll see. Take a look in the middle of the packet. We'll start somewhere in the middle. Yeah, we can even start. Let's start right from the beginning. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that there's an obligation to make a Birkas Hananim. In other words, to make a bracha before we eat food. Right? And the Gemara has a discussion in Nahanim Mili. How do we know this? And the Gemara quotes Pasuk Kodesh Yevulim Lashem, that we praise the Ribono Shel Olam. That's talking about in the fourth year. The halacha is the first 3 years a tree is in existence. One is not allowed to eat the fruit of the tree. And in the fourth year, you take the fruit and you eat in Yerushalayim. And it says that you praise the Ribono Shel Olam. So from this, the Gemara learns out, what do you mean you praise the Ribono Shel Olam? That you're supposed to make a bracha before you eat the fruit. Which is a strange mocker, because who says that it applies anything more than those fruit of the fourth year? We want to learn out that it should apply to everything. So in the end, the Gemara concludes, if you look at the bottom of the page, Tzvarahu Asul Olodam Kiyenem and Olam Zebul Obrach, that there's a prohibition that one is not allowed to get pleasure from this world without a bracha. So therefore, when one makes the bracha, it's getting like the salvation, as we say, getting permission from God to partake from this world. Now we paskin that all brachas are a derabbanan, except for benching and birkas haTorah. So there's, any time you make a bracha, that's only a rabbinic obligation. The only time there's a Torah obligation to make a bracha is every day when we make the bracha Asher Bachar Banu on Birkas HaTorah, on learning Torah, we make a bracha, and benching. If one eats to the amount that he's full, and he makes a bracha, that's a din daraisa. But anything else is only a din darabanan. So that's why, if you look in the Rambam, on page 6, Mishul is topic lo, in birach hamotzi or lo birach hamotzi, einu chozem bevachem, mishu einu min haTorah. Because if you don't remember whether you made a bracha or not, so the halacha is that you don't make the bracha. Because since the brachas are only drabanan, and we have a klal that when it comes to din drabanan, sopik is lakulam. So it means like this. If you ate a big meal and you don't remember whether you benched or not, then you have to bench again. Because benching is a din daraisa, which is a biblical obligation, if one is full and satiated. But if you don't remember whether you made hamotzi or not, then you just continue on eating. You don't make hamotzi because it's only drabanan, and we have the klal that suffix drabanan is lakula. Then the Gemara tells us on page 9 in Mem Amud Aleph, Mark tells us that once you make a bracha, you're not allowed to be mafshik. In other words, if you make a bracha and then you talk after the bracha is made and before you ate the food, so then you've forfeited the bracha. You lost the bracha since you made a hefsek between the bracha and the beginning of the eating. But obviously, once we started eating already, so then you can talk in the middle of the meal. But from the time that you made the bracha to the beginning of the eating, there has to be silence. Because if there's not, then there was nothing that the bracha could link itself to, because you talked in between. So therefore you lose the bracha. So like it's going to come up soon, there's a Shem Bedikas Chametz. Right? So when you do Bedikas Chametz, you make the bracha, and then you have to start checking. You can't talk in between. If you talk in between, then you lose the bracha. So whenever you do make a bracha, either on food or on a mitzvah, you have to make sure to not talk from the time that you made the bracha to the beginning of the mitzvah. Now, when it comes to certain mitzvahs, we try not to talk the whole way through. Like by Kiyas Shofar, we don't talk the whole way through. Or Bedikas Chametz also, we don't talk the whole way through because the bracha is really going on the whole mitzvah. But if one would talk in the middle of Bedikas Chametz, well, certainly it has to do with something to do with the Bedikas Chametz, and you're allowed to talk. But but even if you didn't, even if somehow, you know, people started talking about something that has nothing to do with the Bedikas Chametz, but it was in the middle, so then you didn't lose the bracha, since already the bracha was linked to from saying the bracha to starting the mitzvah, so the bracha already had linked up with the mitzvah. So even though you talked in the middle, you don't lose, you don't have to remake the bracha. But if you would talk, make the bracha and then talk before you started the mitzvah, then you lost the bracha. So the Gemara here in Memar Aleph tells us that certain times one is allowed to talk after he made the bracha, even before he started eating or before he did the mitzvah, if the talking has relevance to what he is involved in. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav, Tol Bruch, in the circle of art. So, meaning, because he's giving out the bread. He says, "Here, take a piece of bread. So, even though the Ramah says, L'chatila, we try not to, but it's relevant to what's going on. It's not that he's talking about the Yankees or something like that. It's relevant to what's going on, so therefore, he doesn't lose the bracha. Or have a melech, have a liftum. What if he says he makes a motzei lechem in aretz, and then he sees there's no salt on the table, so he says, "Please bring the salt." So that also has to do with what's going on here. So then, that's also considered part of the. It's not considered to be mafsik because it's relevant to what was going on. Yeah. Well, they used to dip, you know, the bread into either, to give the bread taste. So they would either dip it into salt or to some relish. So, it's a machlokas here. One opinion says, Havimel, Havilift, and Sarach Lavarach. Rav Yochanan, Marfil, Havimel, Havilift, and Nami, and Sarach Lavarach. So there are two opinions here. Then the Gemara says, Gvil Aturi, Gvil Aturi. What if you say, please get the food for the animal, for the ox? So you made a motzi, you're about to eat, and it says, hey, feed the animals. Because the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Marav, Osel Adam Sheyoko, Kodim Sheyitin Machol Abemto. Because the halakha that one is not allowed to eat before he gives his animal food. Because the pasuk says, "V'nasati esav zotchol v'techo," and then it says, "V'chaltem savanta." So the pasuk first speaks about your animal eating, and then speaks about you eating. So therefore, if you forgot, you can give to your animal first. You're supposed to give to your animal first. So if you started making the bracha and you reminded yourself that you didn't feed the pets, so that's considered a tzorach. That's considered something important, and you could speak out, and you don't lose the bracha. Now, very often, what happens when people make a bracha is they start talking before they swallow the food. In other words, they'll make the bracha, but see, usually they're in the middle of a conversation from before. So they stop the conversation to wash the tilos yadayim, to make a motzi, but the second they put the challah in their mouth, they're already back to the conversation. So the question is, do you lose the bracha? Because really, you're not supposed to speak until you swallow the food. That's the halacha. You're supposed to swallow the food, and unless you swallow the food, you can't speak. So the shalah on page 12 says, "V'afal tisha mati shu hefsek imedabe b'shas ti'ima mikol mokam eina ni omer." He must have been able to change the shachar of the Hebrew b'shas t'ima sheyach to rivarf. Most of the dinu b'im hifzik b'in a bracha l'achila. Then any nichnas the tzavik bracha l'vatala. He says that technically speaking, if you tasted the food already, if you chewed it a little bit, so then even though really you're not supposed to speak out, but if you did, you don't lose the bracha. So that's a big kiddush, because I guess the chewing is considered part of the beginning of the meal. So once you chewed a little bit, even though technically speaking, chewing is not enough to make a bracha, because if at that point you would spit out the food, so. That really, you wouldn't have really been obligated in the bracha. So it's a chiddush, to say that that's enough to save your bracha. But that's what he says, chewing gum, you don't make a bracha. Well, chewing gum, you make a bracha because there's the sugar, the juices. But you swallow the juices. Whereas if it's not something you swallow, then you wouldn't take the bracha. It's that when you chew the gum, so that the juices come out and there's sugar there, and you swallow that, so that warrants you to make a bracha.
When a person loses, what you said, loses the bracha, like if he tore before he engaged in the mitzvah, before he ate the item, and he's going to do it anyway, is he required to make the bracha again?
So if you lose the bracha, then that means you have to make it again. Right, that's what we mean by lose the bracha. Lose the bracha means that you have to make the bracha again. In other words, if you made hamotzi lachem and aretz, and you started speaking about something totally extraneous before you even put the challah in your mouth, so then you have to make the motzi again.
It's like if the first one becomes like a bracha without
a challah. Yeah, exactly. So if the Tilas Yadayim is not as stringent because our minhag is we don't talk between the Tilas Yadayim and Hamotzi. But it's not as important, even though it's our minhag. So if it's easy to wash again, might as well. But definitely not with a bracha, because not so pashut that you have to wash again, because there you washed and you made the bracha. So there's a special halacha that the tila should be samach to the achila. But that's nothing to do with the losing the bracha. The bracha you definitely got. Because you lost, you made the bracha, so you're good. So it's a special din. So as far as the bracha, you're totally good. It's a special din that the nefila should be close proximity to the achila. So once you speak out, that sort of lost the close proximity. So the question is that enough to warrant? So it's not so simple, but you know, if the water's right there, might as well wash again. But that's definitely, I wouldn't make another breath. Right, in other words, when you put food in your mouth, so then you, but that's not what the bracha is, not going on putting food in the mouth, because if you just put food in the mouth and then spit it out, then you wouldn't make a bracha. So you see that action of just chewing alone is not what warrants a bracha. So therefore, if you would speak at that point, really that would be problematic. So, but we make bracha on the hanav and on the hanav. No, you might have pleasure out of just chewing something, tasting it. But right, but tasting alone is very questionable whether tasting alone requires a bracha. Say you want to just taste something, you want to chew it to see if the food is too salty or not. Right? So, and then you're going to spit it out. So the Gemara says in Brachas and Dav Yudal that tasting does not require a bracha. The question is, what if you, there's even an opinion that says if you taste and you swallow, even that doesn't require a bracha, but that's the machlokas we showed. So certainly, if you're just chewing something, even though you might get pleasure out of that, that's not the pleasure that requires a bracha. It's the eating, and eating is when you swallow. If you don't swallow, there's no bracha.
I thought that doesn't involve talking.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a pause that's big enough, long enough, then that's also considered a hefsek. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a discussion of what but if it's something that takes, if you pause long enough, then you, obviously there has to be some limitation of when the bracha is going to last until. No, you don't lose the... No, you're okay.
We wait
for every people to congregate. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There is an interesting opinion of the Rokeach on page 13. He says, I'm around Tolbruch, in Sarah Havarach, the Sarah Hakila, Eina Havsakim. Right, if you say Tolbruch, take, but that's not a Hefsik. The thing is, Melech Olipton, of Gvil Tzuri. Well, in Divya Shadvarim, so then you have to make a Motzi again. Now, he says a Chiddush here. Aval Ochel Habotzeya Ma'at, Vihisichu, Hanafku Kuhu, Kidamash Vishuli, the whole marvin. Meaning like this, what if the person, the head of the household, makes a motzi for everyone at the table, and then he takes the piece of bread first in his mouth and he eats, and then he's giving out the pieces, and before the other people get to eat, one of the people or some of the people start talking. So would they have to make another bracha. So on one hand, I would think they should, because their bracha is based on that they heard his bracha. So it's as if they made the bracha. But now they're talking before they're eating, so now they lost their bracha. Talk about they talk something totally extreme. So the chiddush of the Rekach is no. That since there Yotzei was his bracha, and he didn't talk, the Balabais didn't talk, so therefore everyone else, even if they talk, they didn't lose the bracha. That's his chiddush. He says, look inside. Aval ochal habotzeya ma'at v'hisicho, and the other people talk, hanafki kuhu, everyone's Yotzei. Because he didn't talk. And this is quoted in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see where I brought that. But this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And a lot of poskim don't like this stuff. But in page 14. Let's see. Here's the Beit Yosef, but even the Shulchan Aruch. Beit Yosef quotes here, Tosef HaRokeach, and he quotes that, and Kuf Samach Zayin. And let's see if we have the Shulchan Aruch here. Let's see if we can find it in the Shulchan Aruch. Can't see it right away. But it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and many posts can disagree with it. That's the way it's quoted. Okay. Good. Now, the beginning of this discussion of Birkas Hananim, we talk about the bracha of Hamotzi and Torah Minim Zonos. So, look on page 17, Alamed Zayin Amud Aleph. So it says like this, Tanya, Hakosha Shesachita, Mevarach Alei Bari Pi Adama. Whereas, what if you would take a kernel of wheat and you would chew on it? So what bracha would you make? So the Gemara says you make a bar pri adama. Whereas because even the chita, the kernel, comes from the ground. So if you would be kosher as a chita, you make a bar pri adama. And then he continues and he says, tachana afa bishla, but if you would take it, the kernel, and make it into flour, and then bake it, so, and make bread out of it, you would make hamotzi. Or if you make cake out of it, you'd make a mazonos. So the point being is that the three levels here, the three levels, the first level is if you eat the kernel in its raw state, so it makes adama. Then if you would take its flour and make a piece of cake out of it, it would make a mazonos. Or if you make bread out of it, you'd make a mosi. So the question that poskim raise is, what does it mean, posis? Is it only limited to eating it in the raw state? Say you have, what do they call it, super sugar crisp? You have those types of cereals, or in other words, the kernel is still there. It might have been heated or puffed wheat. Right? If you have those cereals, puffed wheat. So what's the story with puffed wheat? Is that called? So it wasn't made into flour. So many poskim, Moshe included, of the opinion that the puffed wheat and smacks and all these type of shalva in Israel, they call it, you make adama. because the kernel was not processed. And even though it's not totally raw, they did something to it, but they didn't do enough to it. They didn't make it into flour. So therefore, puffed wheat is what? Is Adama. So therefore, if you would have these cereals, you wouldn't make an alamithia. You'd only make a brain of fascias. Because, a lot of times it's misleading. People think, wheat, mazonas, right? That's always the first thing you think. Wheat is mazonas. But many poskim hold that that's not the case. Wheat is only mazonas if it was made into flour and then made into cake, then it's mazonas. Or if it's made into bread, then it's hamotzi. But if it's still in the kernel is still there, still the kernel. It's just you puffed it or something like that. Then you'll make adama. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in his Shuvah. And on puffed wheat, you make adama and a bari nefashos. Yeah, that's a separate issue. That's when you're eating it together with other things.
So if you have the kernel and you have a cornmeal or a wheat meal or something, you make it soft for whatever the reason is, would that dominate now?
Yeah, the kernel is...
A lot of ingredients in
there. Yeah, the kernel is... that's what I have a body sense, based on the... Yeah, that's a whole... We'll get to that when we talk about Iker V'Tafel. Right. And the Gemara says the same thing . Take a look on the same page here. It's just been bracketed, but take a look. The line right before where the line gets wide, where the end of my brackets. Hakosis is ha'ores. But say you have rice. What bracha do you make on rice?
What's
kosis
mean literally?
Kosis literally means to chew. Yeah, it means you're chewing it and you ultimately can eat it. But it's used for something that's more in the unprocessed stage, as opposed to when you made it into a dough or a cake or something like that. Now, kosis as orez means the same thing. That orez, well, let's just start with orez, rice. So we're always taught as kids, right, omen, right? Orez, mazonos, nefashos, right? That's the mnemonic device the kids are taught. That orez trumps the regular rules. That rice is not from the five species. It's not from the five grains. It's not wheat, rye, spelt, oats, etc. Yet you still make mazonos because it fills you up. But it's not. But you don't make a bari nefashos. Usually when you make a mazonos, you make an alamichia. Here's the one exception that you make a mazonos, and then you don't make an alamichia, you make a very fascious. But the Gemara says that's only, again, if it was processed, meaning it was cooked or something like that. But say you have, the modern day example would be rice cakes. You have rice cakes. The rice cakes is just, the rice is puffed. It wasn't made into, the body says it has to be made into a tafshil or something like that. It wasn't made into that. It's just more or less in its raw form. So rice cakes would be adama. Because again, we always have in our mind that rice is mazonas. Yeah, rice is mazonas. Cooked rice, pasta already. But if it's rice like you're having a rice cake that's just puffed. So that's the same thing like Rav Moshe said by the puffed wheat is Adama. So puffed rice is Adama as well. So the rice cakes would be Adama and a Korean fashions. But if you have your regular cooked rice for dinner, you know, so that's going to be a mazonos. That's going to be a mazonos and a glory in the fascias. So that's the, so that's an important, so what do you have, like granola bars? So let's just start with granola bars. So it's also, huh? Adama, right. Because it also it's the same type of situation. It's the oat in its natural state. It wasn't made into a dough. Now oats is a separate question. Whether oats is one of the formations. We are always taught as kids that there are five species that you make mazonos on. Chita, Sa'ora, Shibol, Shuel, Shipon. So, Kusman. Chita, Sa'ora, Kusman, Shibol, Shuel, Shipon. So, and we always say Shibol, Shuel, we always translate as oats. So that's what we, so oats we consider one of the Chameshes Minei Dovon. So, there's a professor in Eretz Yisrael, Yehuda Felix. He's a big professor in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes in his sefer that he thinks it's all a mistake. That oats is not one of the Hamashis Mina Dogma. Not one of the Hamashis Mina Dogma. And Rav Shachter was referring to that in most people are not into that opinion. One conversation I ever had with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was on this topic. Is oats Shibola Shuel or not? And he said that even though this professor had this idea, he doesn't buy into it. That's what he told me. He doesn't buy into it. Because if you assume that, then you have a big question about what broccoli you make in Cheerios. And you have any time you have oatmeal is, you know, a farina, regular farina, that's a mazonos, because that was already made and processed. What about oatmeal? So oatmeal is also processed, but if you hold that oats is not one of the Hamashis Mina Dogon, so then you're up the creek, then you don't make a mazonos on it, you just make an adama. On the oatmeal, on the very fushes. And this is relevant also because there are people that are allergic to the regular wheat matzah. So they have this other matzah that they produce for these people made out of oats. But spelt or oats. So if oats is not one of the rules of matzah is that matzah has to be made from the five species. One of the five. And you don't make it from one of the five, you're not Yotzei the matzah. Even though you made the matzah, but it's not halachic matzah. Like we paskin, if you make matzah from rice, you take rice, make it into a dough, and make matzah out of that. So we paskin that's not good. That's not a good matzah. Only the opinion of Yochanan Ben Nuri, who holds that rice can be, because we hold that only the five species can become chametz. And only something that potentially can become chametz can use for matzah. So Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri was the opinion that rice could become chametz also. So therefore, it's good for matzah. But we hold rice cannot become chametz. So if rice cannot become chametz, so then you can't use it for matzah. So if oats is one of the five minei dagon, so then it's a viable option to use oat matzah. But if it's not, then not. So that became a whole to-do, this discussion, whether oats is really one of the five species, or is it not?
So what would be the fifth species if
you... Yeah, so some other thing that's more similar. In other words, the theory of the those that disagree is that oats is too dissimilar to the other. So some other species, or some other type of, you know, something, I don't know all the different types that there are there. There's a lot, probably many, many types that are much closer to the other four. Right. So, right, Rashi is seemingly of the opinion that it is oats. And this professor found another Rishon who seemingly said not that way, and he thought that that was the more correct way. So, it's a little, interesting. Yeah.
So, is there a majority opinion for that?
Yeah, I would say the majority opinion is that we treat it like Mazonos and Alamithia. That's the majority opinion. No, so granola bars, even if you hold that oats is Mazonos, but it has to be processed. So then, but those that disagree, and say that, it's not like Rav Abadi, he's from the believers, that oats is not one of the tamashis mine dogma. So he holds that the granola bar would be a dogma for two reasons. One is that it's not from the tamashis mine dogma, and even if it was, it's not processed. So that's this machlokas. But if you want to know the majority opinion, so the question is, is the majority opinion, the people actually, research it and think, come up with that was the, I just feel that it's the majority opinion because it was never looked into sufficiently by everyone. It's hard to, but I don't know, you can't argue with, I don't know, as I told you, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told me that that he wasn't convinced by this professor. So, because I heard that someone said that he really held that way, but it's not true. I verified it myself. He was not, so taken by it. So if you hold that oats is not one of the chameshes mine dogma, then it would be a dogma. But if you hold it is, then it would be in the zone.
You said only it was processed. That's why
right.
It's different than granola.
Right.
Even though it's maybe a whole piece
of... So it's cooked. It's more than just pot. This morning just
popped. There's
not big
grounds
to unflower. Right. There's different opinions to what degree you have to, make it. You want to call it a Meissekedeira. You have to make it into a Meissekedeira. So what's called a Meissekedeira? Does it mean that you have to ground it into flour or not? Okay, so that is that's closest as a chita, closest as a oros. So the next part is Pasa Baba Kisvin, which is a Gemara and a Shulchan Aruch here on page 18. So Pasuk of Kisnin means that there is a type of mazonos that was baked, but it was baked in a way different than bread. And therefore, the bracha is mazonos and not hamotzi. So there are three opinions what it's talking about. One opinion is that it means that when you made the dough, instead of just putting flour and water, you added fruit juice and things like that. Like if you would make a cake, so you would add this eggs and fruit juice and things in the formation of the dough. So therefore, that would make it like a snack type food, and you'd make a mazonos. That's the first opinion. And the second opinion is that it means that no, the dough is made regular, but instead of like when you make regular bread, you have flour and water, and then you put it in the oven with yeast, and you bake it, you took the dough, and then you put something on the dough. And then you baked it with the additive of top. But with the dough is made regular, but you put something on the top of the dough. That sounds like what? What does that sound like? Pizza. So then according to that, that would be a mazonos. And the third example is that you make regular flour and regular water, and you don't know additives. The only difference is when you baked it in a way that it's brittle. Like what? Pretzel or cracker or matzah. So all these things on the cake, on the pizza, on the matzah, if you read the Shulchan Aruch, for face value, you make mazonos unless you eat a lot of it. Unless you fill yourself up with it. So cake, for sure, we know we make mazonos. Unless you would eat the whole cake. Then you fill yourself up, then you'd make hamotzi on the cake.
What if you don't know when you start or how much you eat?
Oh, that's the problem. Right. So then you... Right. So...
You gotta go back and...
Well, in the end, you'll have to bench.
Well, that's for sure, yeah.
In the end, you'd have to bench. Now, the question is, there's a big discussion that maybe pizza should not be mazonos. Well, so this is the big issue at hand. In other words, I gave you three examples of things that the Shulchan Aruch says are mazonos unless you eat a lot of them. And the three examples were the cake, the chocolate cake, the pizza, and the crackers, matzah, pretzels, etc. So some poskim are of the opinion that these things are only mazonos is if you eat a little bit, and hamotzi if you eat a lot, only if these things are eaten normally as a snack. So since they have a physical difference from regular bread, since they're normally manufactured to eat as a snack, so then you make mazonos and a little, and hamotzi and a lot. But if, for example, they have these physical differences from regular bread, but they're still eaten normally as a meal food, then there'll be hamotzi even on a little bit. So the shita that holds that a pizza should be hamotzi even on one slice is of the opinion that granted that it has an answer that's on top of it, and it's not baked like regular bread, but since it's normally eaten as a meal, if you assume that that's the reality, that most slices of pizza eaten as a meal and not as a snack, then it would be hummus. And the same thing with matzah. Same thing with matzah. That's a big question. So what's the bracha on matzah? So we know at the Seder we all make hummus. Everyone, all the Jewish people make hummus. Have to say. The question is, if you can eat matzah during the rest of the year, what bracha do you make? So Rav Avadi Yosef wrote a tshuva, and he says, the Sfardim make mazonos on matzah the rest of the year. The Ashkenazim make a motzi the whole year round on matzah, and the Sfarim make mezonos. But he told me, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, this he told me several years ago, that he himself makes a motzi the whole year round, even though he wrote the tshuva, that you make mezonos. He said he only wrote that to be miyashev the minig olam. But he himself thinks the more correct thing is hamotzi. And what's the idea? The idea is, even though it fits into one of the physical qualifications, but since it's a meal type food, it's going to be hamotzi. And that's what he told me. Well, again, in other words, if you hold that pizza, since it's a meal-type food, is considered regular bread, then you don't have to be koveh suda. Then it'll be hamotzi, even if you eat a crumb, it'll be hamotzi. You know, it's according to the opinion that says no, that since it has the physical difference, we don't care that it's a meal-type food, or the metzias is not so, that both people eat it as a snack, and therefore we treat it as a pasuk of the kitchen, and then we'll make mezonos only if you eat a little bit, we'll make mezonos, and you eat a lot, we'll make hamotzi. So the scenario that you gave is what? Right, so if you want to assume that pizza is really mezonos, so then that's, so you have to know what the cutoff point is. So the question is, the cutoff point is the amount that most people will get so full with the pizza. So how many slices does it take for most people to become full? Not one, that's for sure. I don't know. Two? I don't know. Are you full from two? Maybe you need three. But that's assuming that it's from this part of the kitchen. But the other, but if you assume that we treat pizza, that it doesn't matter because pizza is normally meal food, so therefore even though it has the physical characteristics, we make a mozi, so then we treat it like bread. So in your case, if you assuming that two is the amount that most people get full of, one could argue with that maybe, and now tonight he's just eating one, so then he would make a mezonos. But that's only according to the school of thought that we treat it in the mezonos camp. But if we say that pizza, no, that pizza is a meal-type food. But the question is, all these differences that the Shulchan Aruch talks about, are they differences just because objectively they have these physical differences from bread, so therefore they get the status of mezonos, or is the idea that they have physical differences and that made it to become a snack type food and not a meal type food, and therefore it's mezonos. But if it's still a meal type food, even though it has these differences, it's still going to be hamotzi. So those are the two opinions. Now, one of the Ashkenazic practice is that we I'll give you another good example. So this people don't think about as much. Challah, regular challah that you have at your Shabbos table, usually is what? Most people. Egg challah. So it's not so simple, it should be a motzi. Because egg challah means that you didn't just put water in the formation of the dough, you put eggs. So maybe that should be mezonos. So some, hardcore Sfarim. But the hardcore Sfarim are matkid that they won't have on the Shabbos table only water challah. Only water challah. Because those Sfarim say we follow just the physical thing. That's why those people make mezonos on matzah. Because the only thing they care about is the physical aspect. And if it fits into one of these categories, that the physical aspect is different, even though it's a meal-type food, but if the physical aspect is different, they make a mezonos. So the Sfardim that make mezonos on matzah will make mezonos on etchala as well. And therefore they will make sure that at their Shabbos table they will only allow water challah. And only on water challah will they make hamotzi. And the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim who disagree with these other Sfardim will say no, the physical thing is not the koveya. The physical thing is only important as a result of the physical change, now it became a snack type food and not a meal type food. So all of these things are all interconnected. On the bracha you make on pizza is interconnected with what you make on matzah and what you make on egg challah, etc. They're all interrelated. So that's the discussion. Yeah, so the mezonos rolls, so the discussion on the mezonos rolls is also related to this discussion. Because the mezonos rolls are usually made with fruit juice. So again, if you're from the opinion that all that counts is the physical, so, yeah, provided that it's real fruit juice, it's not just the water that has some flavoring, but it's real fruit juice, in other words. So if it's real fruit juice, and that, you know, there are many Hasidic poskim who permitted the mezonos rolls. It wasn't so stam. You know, some people try to make it out like anyone has mezonos rolls is just ignorant. And, it's not ignorance. It's based on that opinion. But if you hold of the other view, that it's not enough to physical change, what are you trying to do here? You take a roll, which is going to be used as part of the meal, as a meal-type food, and you just put the fruit juice in, but that didn't change it from being a meal-type food, so maybe that's a meaningless thing. So that's the other school of thought, that all these mezonos rolls are really hamotzi. So those are two approaches to this whole thing, whether the physical difference is going to change the halakha to make it into a mezonos unless you eat a lot. Or is it a physical difference which changed the type of way that you use the food? So that's the thing. Is it enough the physical difference that this thing is baked differently than regular bread, either because there was an additive in the dough or an additive on top of the dough or that it's brittle or something like that? When we say, no, it's not enough the physical difference. The physical difference has to change the type of way you're using the food. All these questions are the same question repeating itself again and again and again. So it seems that the Ashkenazim who make hamotzi on egg challah, which I think most households do, so that would seem to indicate that they're not of the opinion that you just look at the physical. So then it should follow.
They should be consistent at the pizzeria.
Right, exactly. So they should be consistent in the pizzeria. Provided that's true, that pizza is normally made for a meal and not for snack. If that indeed is the reality. Yes, the Leisha B'Sukkah is another interesting point, whether you make Leisha B'Sukkah on cake or not. Some opinions say you make Leisha B'Sukkah, you eat a muffin, you make a Leisha B'Sukkah. And others say, no, you only make a Leisha B'Sukkah if you eat a lot, a real meal, not just the zone. So that could be a separate shiloh. What is the minag of, you know, the Vilna Gaon is of the opinion anytime you go into the sukkah, you make a leisha b'sukkah, even if you're not eating at all. You just go into the sukkah, as long as you were not in the sukkah recently. If you're just coming to the kitchen back and forth to get some more food, then you don't make another leisha b'sukkah, even according to the Vilna Gaon. Because the Vilna Gaon says, hey, you go to shul, and you left the sukkah, or you go someplace for a couple of hours, and then you come back, and you just want to hang out in the sukkah,
and just talk and not eat at all, was only both said to make a bracha. That's the Rambam's opinion. And Rabbi Natan says, no, you only make a place of a sukkah on a meal. So the question is, so therefore, it should follow, therefore, that yes, it's only if you manage Kovei Susan. If you just eat a couple of crackers, then maybe not. So, but many people have the mimic that they do, even on the Zona. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was made out of matzah meal. You're asking an unbelievable question. Yeah. So if you have matzah meal, so what is the story of matzah meal?
You bake
You bake it, and then you put right.
And you make matzah meal.
Right.
Pizza and.
Right. So if you take. Right, if you have and you bake it. You take the matzah meal and then you bake it. Right. So there's some poskim that say that on all matzah meal products you make a motzi. Because basically you have matzah. It was made into matzah and you didn't cook it, you baked it again. So it didn't lose its status of a motzi. It doesn't matter. Only if you cook it. If you cook it, then it loses the... But if you re-bake it... So the halacha is... That's only according to Rabbeinu Hanano. So the halacha is that we paskin, if you take... Say I take a motzi. A matzah, and I make it into matzah meal. So matzah meal doesn't look like matzah. I just eat matzah meal. So that's a motzi. Because it came from a matzah, and it wasn't cooked afterwards. So I'll tell you why it's very relevant. What's relevant is that, you know, there's always a question, what to serve on Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach is a long day, and we don't know what to do. So this year we have Brachas Hachama. So Pesach, you know, so we'll... No, so we add to the height of the day. 28 years. We should start getting ready for Brachas Hachama. Because 28 years, that's another 28 years, so we have another one. So you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So that means you can't eat all the matzah meal products. You can't eat on Erev Pesach. Because that's like eating matzah on Erev Pesach. The only question is Kneidlach. What's the story of Kneidlach? So Kneidlach is cooked. So some say since it's cooked, it loses the status of matzah. But the Magen Avraham says no. That because the halacha is that if you have something that's big, even if you cook it, it doesn't lose the status. So you make it into a ball and then you cook it. So Magen Avraham Shita, not everyone passes like the Magen Avraham, but the Magen Avraham Shita is that a Kneidlach is a motzi. That's the famous Shita of the Magen Avraham. Not everyone agrees to this Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, I wouldn't tell you to make it a motzi and a Kneidlach. Not everyone agrees, but I would tell you not to eat a Kneidlach and a Pesach. Because according to the Magen Avraham, that's matzah. And then you violate the Isser. Very strong issue of eating matzah and Pesach. You get whipped for eating matzah and Pesach. So you don't want to eat matzah and Pesach. So stay away from all the matzah products. You know, today, you know, everyone is, the world became different. The Hasidim took over the world, basically, and the Hasidim were not eating gebraks. So basically, the old, you know, in the stores in the old days when I was a little kid, a lot of the cookies were gebrachs. Today, to find gebrachs in the store, it's not so simple. Most of it's potato starch anyway. Because the world became Hasidish. And Hasidim were very much, gebrachs is like one of those, you know, big Yisurim. Even though there's only Gaon gebrachs, but he wasn't Hasidish. He was on the other side. But the Hasidim basically won over in the world today. So the Mela, So in the Pesach products situation, the cookies that are produced today are usually not matzah meal. I'm sure there still are. So you can serve all those potato starch things today on there at Pesach.
So you shouldn't even have
gefilte fish, because
probably that's matzah meal.
Yeah, so gefilte fish, also my friend Rabbi Gedalia Berger pointed out, maybe it makes a difference whether you cooked it or baked it. If you baked it, then for sure you shouldn't have baked gefilte fish. If you cooked it, so then that's the question: is there a desire of matzah meal in the fish or not? If there is, so then it could be a problem.
We have most of the matzah ball, the knedel, which is
mostly matzah, right? But the fish, with the filled fish, might not have enough. There was the halacha is that if something is a kazayas and then you cook it, then it still gets a hamotzi to it. But if it's less than a kazayas and you cook it, then it loses. Not like French toast. If you cut bread into pieces and then you make French toast into it, then it's a shame it could be mazonos. Because you cut it up. But if you have just the way people normally make French toast, the big slices, so then maintains its hamotzi. So in the knedlach, so it's a big ball. And if you view that big ball as one whole kazayin, so then it's not going to lose its status. So that's the chiddush of the Magen Avraham. In the fish, as you said, there might not be enough. So I can't guarantee how much there is. So, yeah. Right.
So what do we do
with the kiddush? Right. So what you could do is everyone drinks grape juice. Well, not everyone agrees. Rabbi holds that that's not good enough. Rav Moshe Feinstein, you should know that he has a groundbreaking tshuva that he disagrees with the whole world, and he says that a kiddush you can eat anything you want, and that's what he himself did on Pesach. He ate eggs at the kiddush. As long as when you come home, you make kiddush again with hamotzi. We're normally taught, the rest of the world holds, that at the kiddush, you at least have to have wine or mazonos at the kiddush, or else you're not yotze. So that's the standard way that the whole world holds. And Moshe Feinstein has this kiddush that no one else ever says, that kiddush, you can have anything you want. Say you just want to come to the shul kiddush and have tuna fish. Good. As long as when you come home, you make kiddush again. Because that's the kiddush day. And the others say, no, if you just have tuna fish, you won't be able to take kiddush. Therefore, you ate without kiddush. So that's the classic, conventional wisdom. And Rav Moshe broke the trend. And he thought it wasn't true. And here's just like a 10-page tshuva to his son, Reuven Feinstein, where it proves his point. That he thinks the conventional wisdom is not true. Rav Moshe, that was a lot of times he felt that he was the chadish for Rav Moshe. And he was able to do it because he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. So he was able to say chidushim that no one else ever said before him or after him. And this is one of them. So it's brought down that Rav Moshe himself, on Pesach, where it was really a problem, he would make kiddush in the yeshiva, and he would just eat eggs with the kiddush. And then he'd come home and make kiddush again. Okay, so these are some of the issues at hand, the halacha l'maisa on Birkas HaNenin, about not being maftik, about the Toses HaSachita, Toses HaSa'orez, about the Adama and the Mazonos, and the Pasa Baba Kisnin, and is very relevant the whole year round, the Pesach as well, and okay. Good. I know how I am. Don't worry.